You are listening to WQ4D Radio, the Inspiring Friends Network, coming to you from the heart of the Q in Quitman, Mississippi.
Old Men Stories, a show just about old men? Not hardly. It's a name that conjures up the image of someone who's been through it all, seen it all, and survived it all, like the storytellers of old. That wisdom comes with age. But all age is relative. You don't have to be old. You don't have to be male. You just have to live the story and survive to tell the tale. Join Master Storytellers Roland Willits and Jeff Young now as we start today's journey.
My way, looking for the old men of our day. I'm looking for the stories back in their days of glory, just to see what those old men had to say. And I'm looking for the stories of our land. I'm looking for them everywhere I can. Old men stories are the reason, and I'll listen any season. I'll search for these old men across the land. Yes, I'll search for these old men across the land.
Roland Willits.
And Jeff Young.
Old Man Stories. Welcome to our show. During our 110th show, we start taking care of babies. Those crying, fussy, younger humans. Nurseries bring stories of our own children or those of others. We normally can see these in our mind. After we get by the crying and cleaning messes, they have interesting stories. Tell the interesting parts of these memories for a old man story.
Good afternoon, everyone, from Fremont, California, and Apache Junction, Arizona. It's Old Man Stories going back to the crib, or wherever that may be. Roland, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Yes. You sound good.
We're sitting here in Arizona, and I tried to get a recording for nursery. I was trying to get, and it didn't tie down to in detail. So what I did is I shanghaied three beautiful ladies and brought them to the studio. And we're going to have it. We're going to have these wonderful ladies tell us about nurseries in the next half hour. So now, Jeff, you can tell us your stories about nurseries.
Gee, thanks.
I have some, Jeff.
Well, to be honest, I do not have kids. So you would think that that would limit what I can talk about. But in truth, I have nephews and nieces, and I've had to occasionally take care of some other people's kids. And I'm also searching for a house. So occasionally you go through someone's open house and you kind of see what they have set up. And realistically, no matter whether you have kids or not, you probably know someone who does. So it kind of... to go off on the side for a moment, the idea of having a nursery is somewhere where you keep your kid when they're not currently holding them and are not in the living room or in the kitchen being fed or something. But a lot of people believe that for the first couple of months, the baby should be in bed with you, worrying about rolling over on them in the middle of the night or something. And then other people have decided, you know, I'll keep the crib in the room with the parents, which means it's a lot more convenient to get up and see what the baby needs, but also means you're probably not going to get any sleep. And there was one particular setup I saw in a house where they had a giant-sized master bedroom with a side room that they had set up as a nursery. And it's not quite a full room by itself, but rather it looked like they had a bedroom office kind of thing that they converted into a nursery, where they had a little screen partition, but that was unequivocally the baby's room. And the crib and everything were there, and it was done up with different wallpaper and paints and stuff like that. So kind of the best of both worlds, and there are a lot of houses with that sort of architecture, as if they expected people to have kids, or offices, or both. It reminds me of those commercials now with the baby that pretends to be a stockbroker. But anyhow, I digress. I've been fascinated by the whole psychology of how to treat newborns and babies that you bring home, because a friend of mine in college was into child development studies, and so she would tell me about the various things she was working on. And if you have experts on the line, I apologize if I'm stepping all over your profession and I'm wrong. You may feel free to correct me. But as I understood it, the color perception for newborns is not yet quite developed, and they suggest having black and white things and bringing in primary colors later, as your kids can learn to discern colors. So you have the folks who have this interior decorator kind of bent to them, painting their baby's rooms in black and white zebra stripes, and then later going to bright colors, something to be able to be, calibrate baby vision on. And then there's the whole idea of mobiles over the bed and stuffed animals. Do you keep them or don't keep them? And I learned a whole bunch of things that I barely remember from when I was in college, which is a number of years ago. I won't say how many. But it was interesting because when I was a kid, you never really thought about that. It's, okay, this is the baby's room, and it's the same color as the rest of the house, and you've got a whole pile of stuffed animals in the crib. And the stuff on the side of the room was either the baby's toys or the stuff you need to change the baby or the baby's bottles and bags and boxes of diapers and various other things. And when I visited my sister over the Christmas holiday, there was probably some of that still there. That sort of same mentality. Like, okay, some things haven't changed. The thing about nurseries is that in a lot of ways it is the first level of independence that you have for your child. You're not sleeping in the same room as your parents anymore. You have your own room with the monsters under the bed and the monsters in the closet and the light switch that you can't reach, but it's definitely your room and all your stuff goes in there. And I think that how we set up our nursery is critical and crucial because of my friend who had that as a study session where she insisted that if you're going to raise a baby the right way, you start with the room that they sleep in, wake up in every morning, and go from there. I guess I can kind of relate to that, and maybe whenever I have a kid, we shall see, and I'll discuss it with whoever I'm having a kid with, and what we can do. And they even have a whole section in IKEA based on baby furniture, and the whole industry based around it, too. Anyway, Roland.
Oh, yes, I get all of the great things. I mean, you always wonder if the kids are going to turn out better or worse. Maybe they need, you know, like axes and guns around with, you know, hanging, you know, skeletons and stuff to make them aware of life before.
Hanging a skeleton? Really?
Oh, I don't know. I just presented as a theory. I mean, these people have their theories. And you ask, do you have any kids yet? Not yet, but no, I had my separation between my kids was quite a few years. And I don't, you know, the first one, we're sitting in Apache Junction. The first one I had was Alameda, California, but then I got out of the Navy and we headed right over here for the, you know, right over here to Phoenix to go to graduate school, and we lived in one bedroom, so there wasn't a nursery. There was just a one bedroom. And we survived it. I don't remember what we did, but I remember I had him, I used to carry him with the one on a backpack all the time. So he had a lot of backpack time. I guess a backpack is sort of a mobile nursery. These women looked at me with a strange look. It was. A papoose was basically. So, you know, and I built it out of a regular knapsack at the time. They didn't have the official ones, and I put holes in it, and I put all kinds of foam and cushion around where they put their legs out, and yeah, it's pretty cool. But yeah, now Mark, our second one, I was in my late 30s at the time, and so I was just like that. I studied everything about kids. I had a little time, so we went through all the ways of having kids and all that, and we picked the LaBoye method, and It was so cool when he was born. I'll probably tell you the story 1,000 times anyway. And I got to hold my baby after about 15 seconds, and I got to put it in a warm bath of water. They got one of those clear through grip, and I held it in there, so that was my nursery sort of. And he looked up at me, and it was warm again. And he did something babies never do. He opened his eyes, and he smiled at me. You hear that? That was Mary. They said, well, that was gas. No, he splashed and he grabbed up and grabbed my finger. So it was like, wow. Well, that was it for me. He owned me. And then we moved to him. We'd fix up this huge, beautiful nursery with all this stuff around it because we were older and had a little more money. And man, we had the coolest stuff for him. And he went in there, and the first night we put him in there, and he said, okay, he's going to cry. But not much, because he's got, look at all the stuff he has. He can't possibly cry with all these goodies. Well, he had different thoughts. Kids have different thoughts. I don't know why they have different thoughts than adults, but they have it. And he decided crying until he got attention was his formula. And it's like, I can't handle much, you know, because he already looked up to me and smiled. But he went at least a half minute. No, I'm sure Terry made me go, look. But our son ended up, and his nursery was between the two of us. Terry decided to breastfeed, and it was really cool for her. I mean, I didn't have to get up, bring the baby, and she didn't have to just roll over. It's just wonderful. And after a long, 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 long time, when I was really getting discouraged about when he was going to leave the bed, someone came and advised me, said, don't worry, Roland. Don't worry. He will get up before he goes on his first date. So I had encouragement, and I said, man, this is going to be great because he's going to be out before I have the first one. And we had a waterbed, and his other bed wasn't a waterbed. So I think he got spoiled with a cool, warm waterbed. So he was just wonderful. And then in the evening, he couldn't sleep. So what we had this old white van. It was a van that I had actually worked for, had to use for a business in Phoenix. And we were at the time, we were in Union City, California, but it had the engine right between the two seats, and it had this metal cover on it. Well, the metal cover, the lock broke on it, so when the wind would blow, the thing would flip up and go up and down. So you had to put heavy weights on it. Well, it just rattled and it made all kinds of, it was just terribly sounding thing. But we would take his little crib out there, little thing, and we'd set it between the two seats right on the top of the cowling there. And we'd drive around, and that thing would make noise and rattle and creak and everything. He'd fall asleep. He'd fall asleep right away. He must have been from a tree. He was from a truck driver family, so yeah, that must have been it. But he'd fall asleep, and so we'd bring him back. Now, if we tried to take him out of the little crib and put him in his bed, he would cry bloody, bloody heck. But so we would take him and put him between us after that for the long term. But eventually, maybe 45 or 50 years later, he finally made it into his own bed. But he could already walk by that time. And so we showed him how he could walk back over if he was frightened and come back in bed with us. And, you know, every once in a while, now he's in his 30s, I look over at the door and get a little frightened he might come back in. Jeff?
I'm trying to think about a story that my mom likes to tell about me when I was a kid. And that a lot of babies don't like loud noises. But she said, I was the kid that I hated being by myself. But if you took the crib and you wheeled it in into a room full of people, I was perfectly happy. And where some kids are happy being plopped around TV sets, I would rather be around people. I guess it says a lot about me.
That's cool. Yes.
I kind of think about the notion of setting aside a room in your house for your kid. I mean, because I know a lot of people go house shopping when they recognize that they have a new baby on the way, or they buy a house in the first place with an extra room just in case. And I know a friend of mine, a former coworker, who used to have a study, and he has a three-bedroom place. So he had his two kids, one with a study, or one study slash guest room and the master bedroom. And they had one kid who they kept in their room for a while, kind of at the nursery area, and then they finally moved a kid into the other room, and the coworker had to give up his office to the eldest, who was also a girl, so she'd have her own room, and the boys would have their own room. And then kind of they wound up having a fourth kid, so they were like, okay, well, we're good with the nursery for a little while, but what do we do with the fourth kid? Do we put all three boys in the same room? Do we give the girl the downstairs room somehow, even though it's not really part of the living room? We'll figure out something. But I remember one of the other coworkers that we had said, ha, you see what happens when you have extra kids? You need to give your office and your man space. And the coworker said, yeah, but you know, kids are more important than having space for my collectibles. And he said, and the other coworker said, until they find your collectibles and open them. And he said, no, don't worry. They're going in the garage in tightly marked boxes that are sealed. No one will ever find them. And his wife said something about the lines of, you haven't seen these kids look for Christmas presents before Christmas, have you? So I guess kind of going back to the original point is that when you plan to add a kid to your life, you really need to plan more than just having the kid, bring them home, and then how to take care of them, but also creating that environment and recognizing when you need to expand. And this isn't a nursery rhyme, if you will, where you can have lots and lots of kids living in a shoe. But rather, I think everyone needs their kind of space, and the folks who start off keeping the kid in the bedroom with them are doing it right, maybe, but also maybe not doing it quite so right. So when would you decide to give a newborn their own room as they're not sleeping with their parents anymore, despite the fact the kid doesn't want to leave their parents? And I know I was one of those kids, whenever I had a nightmare climbing a bed with the parents, I had a nightmare. At least I think I did that. I'll have to ask Mom about the next time I talk to her. But I'm pretty sure I did. So what do you think, Roland?
Mark did the same thing when he'd have a nightmare. He'd come running in and sleep because I remember that because it was the last experience. But with my first son, James, I remember one experience where we were mobile. We had the mobile nursery, and that was in the back seat of a Volkswagen Bug. And you have to get, I lived here, right here in Apache Junction in Phoenix, and to make enough money to keep going, I was in the Naval Reserves. And I was an aviator. So, but the only place they had an aviation unit was one was in Albuquerque and the other one was all the way in Los Angeles. So for one weekend a month for almost a year, I'd go to Los Angeles and come back. Well, one time my ex said, let us go with you. I said, are you sure you want to? Yes, yes, yes. I said, that's awfully hot. So we took off and you got to get, we have a Volkswagen, no air conditioning. all the natives here know what it's like without air conditioning. So we kept all the windows open and we drove and we left really early in the morning. But I said, well, we can make it to Lake Havasu before it gets, you know, before it gets real hot. And what we will do is we will camp out and then go in the evening again. We'll camp out during the day at Lake Havasu and go in the water and stay cool. Well, we stopped at Lake Havasu and we set up our little tent and all of a sudden it got getting hotter and hotter. And I says, well, let's go in the water. Well, I found out a brand new experience about Lake Havasu in the summertime. The water is hot. It is not cool. It is miserably hot. You go in there and all is boiling. There's little bubbles coming up all over. And you try to bring in your child and he set him in the water and, you know, he cried. This is cold. It was hot. It was just terrible. And the only places of those bubbles were cold. around and look for the bubbles. Well, it lasted at least 15 minutes. 15 minutes, and then I couldn't stand anymore, so I grabbed them all. I took down the tent. In the middle of the hot summer day, we drove all the way across the Mojave Desert. Yes, but that isn't the end of the story. I was driving the Volkswagen, and I was coming down a hill, and it stopped. And there's nothing out there. And it was the old highway, not the new freeway 10. It was the old highway without a freeway. I went through Kingman. And so I said, what are we going to do? I said, she says, I'm staying here and waiting for you. And I, well, yeah, well, no, I mean, she wasn't going to wait. She was waiting for me to go get a repair and come back and get it. So I had a, there was a good Samaritan that drove by, and he came and he said, let me take you. I said, I'll take the kid. You know, the, no, she didn't want it. She said, I'll guard the car. So I went into Kingman and I rented a car and I went back and I rented one with air conditioning. And I picked them up in the road, and at the same time I had someone come and get haul it back. And then we took an air-conditioned car into L.A. and an air-conditioned car back. And it got in a late evening where it was cool and got that car and went back to Phoenix. But I never, ever, 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 ever put them through it again. I felt so bad. It still gives me guilt feelings. Well, that was a nursery on the road. Jeff?
I think I've mentioned my parents' Ford Econoline van with the games in the back and the toolbox in the back. But that just reminds me of when Mom used to crate three kids around in the back of the van. And we and it was one of those big vans with three back seats, like two which sat three people in a side aisle down the side of the van, and a fourth in the back, which is the full back bench seat, that kind of thing. And we took two of the seats out of the back of the van and brought them into the house as extra couches. So we had a lot of space in the back of the van for cargo, and we used to throw camping equipment back there or a sleeping bag. So the first night and the last night we go camping, we sleep in the back of the van. And as a result, the back of the van used to have games and toys and stuff in there that we'd leave in the car. And so half the time, whenever we're going somewhere, instead of sitting in the back seat like we're supposed to, we'd go in the back of the van and just kind of sit around back there and have a mobile playroom of sorts. Well, maybe not that much of a playroom, but I do remember we had a Scrabble stick back there at least. And I will always have fond memories of that particular vehicle because you always remember your first car. And the running joke is that that's supposed to be the car that you buy for yourself when you're 16 or 18 or your parents get you. But no, for me, my first car is my parents' van. And that was because that was how we got to see the world. It's whole 8 miles to the gallon MPG that would take a quarter tank of gas, drive from the middle of Queens out to Long Island, where my aunt lived with the cousins who were the same age as we were. So I would say that I guess you could make a vehicle a nursery of sorts. And certainly these days, with the vans that have the drop-down DVD screen for people to look at, that's certainly a possibility. But that just reminds me of a friend of mine who, before the drop-down screens were really trendy, had this van that was tricked out with interior running lights and, of all things, a Nintendo Entertainment System built into the electronics of the van. So you could open the little side panel and pull out the Nintendo controller and the little television behind the driver that you could play a Nintendo game on if you had the cartridges for it. And it ran off the car's internal power. So I guess maybe that's the next step. And speaking of next steps, that is our music for the half. So we'll be back with more Old Men Stories after this.
You're listening to Old Men Stories on WQ4D Radio, the Inspiring Friends Network. Roland and Jeff will be right back with more of Old Men Stories after this short break.
This is Terry Willits, Mom Software, giving stability service, and excellence.
Thank you, Terry, for the leadership at Mom Software and the noble example you set for all. From our home here in Silicon Valley, and from where it all started in San Francisco 35 years ago, we welcome you to Old Men Stories. We hope you will continue listening to our radio presentation. We know you will hear a few wonderful stories that started from the home of Mom Software. www.momsoftware.com. One word, one S.
With more of Old Men Stories on WQ4D Radio, the Inspiring Friends Network. You're invited to join the circle and share your comments and questions in our always open chat room at http://oldmenstories.wq4dradio.com. That's http://oldmenstories.wq4dradio.com. Now, let's give a warm welcome to our hosts, Roland and Jeff, as we continue today's storytelling journey.
Welcome back to the second half of Old Men Stories. And Roland, I understand you have some live guests here today.
Yes, I do. And I think between them, they've had 35 kids.
Wow.
Maybe I'm a little off. But when they talk about them, they sound like they had 35. Boy, the adventures. And I have Angie Singer.
Yes, present.
Sharon Onru.
Yes.
Wow, see that? I did all three names. I'm good.
You got them right.
I got them right. Yes. We're sitting here, and they're going to, each one is going to tell a short story, not over 35 minutes. No, just 5 minutes. About their adventures with their nurseries at their place. Now we're going to hear feminine side. So, Mary?
Mary Gordon.
Well, okay. And I was going to ask you some questions. You got how many children?
I have three children.
Three children, and they all have children now almost, right?
No, one daughter has three children.
One daughter
That's
has three
all
children.
I have.
But they could have all
They
have
could
children.
Have,
They
yes.
could have. They've just chosen freedom. No nurseries for two out of three.
Right.
Male
and
point
just,
of view.
Just as a little aside, my children were all adopted. And so I never had babies in the nursery. They came housebroken.
Wow.
They had no diapers, no bottles. I didn't have to mess with any of that.
Wow. But you did have a young bedroom. You have young kids' bedrooms, right?
Yes.
What age were they when you adopted her?
The oldest one was 2.5 when we got her, and then when she was 5, we adopted a 4-year-old and a 3-year-old.
Oh, so they were
they're very close.
At 2.5, they had pretty much a nursery.
A little girl's room.
Yeah.
With the canopy bed and all the stuffed animals and the white provincial furniture, you know, the stuff I wanted when I was little.
That's true. Oh, yes, you got to fill your adventure, didn't
yes,
you?
Yes, yes. My dream.
And was she comfortable in there? Or did she end up in your room? She's 2.5, so
well, being newly adopted, you know, I just started everything fresh. The rule was she had to sleep in her room. If she woke up in the night, I would go put her back in bed and stay with her until she fell asleep.
Okay.
In the morning, she could get into bed with me.
Oh, okay. Well, that's pretty nice. So they had luxury rooms. Right?
The first one did.
Oh. Isn't that right?
That's how that works. By the time the other two came along, you go, okay. We got some cast off stuff.
Let's go down to Goodwill there. Yeah. We can pick up some furniture for the next one.
You could sleep on this, right?
terrible. No, I'm terrible. I'm the one. I'm the instigator.
Practical, yes.
And which child were you?
In our family.
In your family.
I was one below the middle.
You were one below the middle.
I was the oldest of the little kids.
Because I know you were. I know you're Angie's older sister.
Yes.
Oh, she hates when you say older sister.
But most people don't say that.
No. Just rolling.
Well, you know, I mean, she could have been, you know, I mean, at least 9 months. That couldn't have been, she could have been born the same year, you know. It's always,
oh, yeah, that's
a theory, you know.
Yeah,
you're very close.
Yes.
Yes. So when you remember what she, you know, what Angie, what kind of crib Angie had?
No, I don't think she had one.
She didn't have one, huh?
No. There were seven of us.
Wow.
She was the youngest of seven, and then our dad married a woman with six kids, and then there were two more. So you just slept wherever you could find a pillow, basically.
Oh, wow.
We have a sister between Angie and me, and the three of us shared a bed, and Angie was in the middle. And Jeannie and I would divide the bed right down the middle when we go to sleep. Now, you can't come on my side. And there's Angie, didn't know where to go.
Angie knew how to sleep quietly in one spot.
And straight down into the blanket.
I'm not here. So what they would do is that the one would yank on the blankets that way, and the other would yank on the black blankets that way, and I'd be laying in the middle with no blanket, because it would be hot above me.
However, they did use your, you got body warmers for both of them, didn't you?
Oh, no, I couldn't touch them.
No, but you didn't have body warmers.
So she couldn't be there.
Yeah, I
wasn't really there.
I was ignored, yes.
But we did manage to sleep.
Somehow.
I did.
Somehow you all aged and
yeah,
made it.
We survived it.
And Sharon, how many kids were in your family?
Just my brother and I. It was just two of us growing up, and he was the little brother, and he didn't like his big sister because Mom would tell me to make him do things, and then the war was on.
Do you remember what he had for baby stuff?
I don't remember a lot of it. I know he had a lot of trucks and things like that. He wanted to be an Indian when he was little. He always had to wear the Indian clothes, the feathers and the whole thing, and he had a bow and arrow. He was going to be a cowboy. The kid was the cowboy, and he was the Indian.
And how many children did you have?
Between my husband and I, we have five.
Yes, you do.
Yes, we do.
And you had three boys, right?
He had three boys.
Oh, you had three boys.
And I had two girls.
That's, I got it confused. I had the numbers in the...
Yes.
Okay, and when you raised the girls, they were, what kind of cribs did they have? Nursery.
The first one had a used crib from a lady who had just one child, and she packed it away, and I got it, and it was just like brand new, and I was thrilled to get it. And the second one, that was almost 8 years later, and I think I still have the crib. I saved it, and... The second one was very hard to get to sleep at night, and so I didn't get much sleep. The first one spoiled me because she slept every night through, and I didn't have any problems with her. So when the second one came, it was a little bit of a shock.
Yes, they do shock you, don't they, when they're different?
Yes.
And so did the second one sleep end up in your bed?
Well, when she was old enough to crawl out of the crib, she would come in, and she always had something she needed in the middle of the night.
what were some of the things she needed?
Oh, she was hungry. Well, it's not morning. You can't be hungry. It's not morning. I'm hungry. I want breakfast. She didn't sleep at night a lot when she was little. She was always up, wanted something. It was either that or she needed a drink of water. Or she wanted us to play with her.
Yeah. Oh, she was a night person, huh?
Yeah.
Has she changed when she got older, or is she still a night person?
No, she's more of a day person.
Okay.
More of a day person now, but she was up many, many nights. My husband and I, Ron and I, would be up with her all. She she'd wake up in the middle of the night, her bedroom light was on. I'd get up to see what was going on. She'd be in there coloring. Yeah, on the wall.
Oh, my God.
Whatever she could find, you know. She found a hammer one day, and she was good at hanging pictures.
Oh, geez.
But that was during the day. I was downstairs. She was upstairs. She decided she was going to hang pictures because she saw me doing it the day before. So she found the hammer that I'd been using the day before.
Yes. Independent.
Very independent.
Yes, and she was good with the hammer probably all her life.
Well, yeah, she's pretty handy. She's a daddy's girl, definitely, though. Definitely a daddy's girl.
Oh, wow. Well, Andrew, do you have girls? Any girls?
I have three girls, and when I got married, I married those three little girls. And so, like Mary, I didn't have to do the bottles and the diapers. They came housebroken to me as well. But, you know, I was going to talk about that, and I had so many things I was going to talk about. But then I heard Jeff talking about when they had their vehicle and they had games in the back of their vehicle. I forget what kind of car he said it was, or truck or whatever it was. I looked at my sister Mary and it was what, Jeff?
It was a Ford Econoline van.
Ford Econoline van. Okay. And I looked at my sister Mary and I said, three kids in the back of an Econoline. We had 11 kids in the 1958 Ford station wagon. And it was that, an orange color. And we had 11 kids, and we lived in St. Louis, Missouri then, and we would go back up to Minnesota in the summertime to visit Grandma. And we'd all be in the car. And I remember stopping at a stoplight. So do you, don't you, Mary? And we'd stop when we'd go through the little towns in Iowa. And we'd stop at a stoplight, and there'd be people in the next lane, and they'd be having their head hanging out the window, and they're counting all the kids. 6, 7, 8, and they're counting. And so we'd all stick our legs and our arms out the window. Oh, that must have looked hysterical. And we, you know, that was way before everybody had to have a seatbelt and everybody had to have a car seat. It was before they started making laws about all that stuff. So before we would leave for one of those trips, we would prepare ourselves by going to the nearest orchard we could find and pick all the apples off the tree we could put in a bag. And they weren't ripe, so we all had green apples. Well, by the time we got to Minnesota, we were all in serious trouble. But we each had our own bag of green apples and our own little salt shaker, and we'd go to the bookmobile that would come around, and we'd all get our stash of library books that we would take on our trip up to Minnesota, and then on the way back, we'd have to stop and get, we'd have to buy Oleo, wouldn't we?
Oleo.
We'd have to buy Oleo, because you couldn't get Oleo one place or the other. You couldn't get it in Missouri, so we bought it in Minnesota to take down? I don't know. But hearing Jeff talk about the three kids in the back of that vehicle conjured up those images of that 1958 Ford station wagon.
What is Oleo?
Pardon me?
What is Oleo?
Oleo. Well, see, that there used to be... Oh, he's young, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
He's
got to
be young.
Just a bit.
I thought I was young. Well, it used to be you could only have butter, and butter was white in those days, wasn't it?
No, it was yellow.
Was butter yellow?
It was margarine.
And Oleo is what they called margarine. And there was a little thing that you'd squeeze on it to make it yellow.
It's in a
or something. I don't know.
And then a little
and you'd get to knead it until the whole bag was the color of butter.
Why did you want that?
Because then it looked like butter instead of lard.
Yes.
It was much less.
But why did you want that instead of butter?
Why do people eat margarine instead of butter?
It may have been a lot less expensive at that time.
Oh, maybe it was cheaper. Okay, so I was pretty little, like Jeff. I was really little.
Yeah, you always wanted butter.
Yeah.
Butter was in.
Now we do.
You want butter then, too, but they gave you lard. I said, they have to eat that stuff? Yes.
So I myself had the three girls, and when I got married, we had a large family. I'm number 12 of the whole 15. And I did a lot of babysitting, as you can imagine, for my older brothers my older brother and sister's kids, for all of their kids. And they ended up being when I got married and had these three girls, they're the same age as the ones I've been babysitting. And so it was not that much different, except for the fact that these kids never went home.
It's always nice to send them home, isn't it?
Yeah. So, but, you know, we kind of grew up together and we're the best of buds now. But it was an interesting experience back then. And what I wanted to talk about lightly, I know I'm using up time here.
Oh, we got plenty of time.
Was the
Jeff
way...
I don't have much more to say about nurseries.
Was setting up nurseries and how that's changed over the years. And how you can tell it's changed when you get invited to a baby shower.
Yeah.
And then you have the little card and it says registered at all these places. Registered at Target, registered at Kohl's, registered. Yeah, babies are a
thing.
So then you go there because you want to get them what they want, even though I think that's stupid. But that's just me. So you want to go, and then you print out the sheet that sometimes is like 14
pages
long.
Yes.
And then I don't know how you go about picking self-insure when you look at those big long lists, but what I do right away is go right to the price category. I think I know how much I want to spend on a baby shower. So then you go down and you look. Well,
yeah, you don't. The first page is usually the most expensive item, like $100.
And you need three or four people to go in on one of those. So, and then what I found the last time I went was you pick a couple of things out, and then we were at Walmart, and then you go to look for it. And you can't find that item to save your life. And then you try and hogtail a worker bee.
There's never anybody.
There's
in that
never
department.
No. And so then you finally get somebody and you show them your list and you show them the item you want. And then they say, oh, that's not available here. You have to get that online.
Oh,
like, shut up.
Online.
I just spent a half an hour trying to find
down road D12 on the far end.
Right.
Not there.
And all of the different things that they get for a baby now. You have
it. I didn't even know what it was when I went looking for it.
I know. Now you have not only the breast pump, but the special bottles to put it all in and to put it in the freezer.
And the special diaper pail that has the deodorants.
Yeah.
And all the, I have cloth diapers. I had to wash them and fold them all.
Oh, nobody wants to do that anymore.
No.
Nobody wants to. Now they have the...
No.
And now when you go to a baby shower as well, they have everybody bring a pack of baby diapers. And then they build a big mountain of them in the middle of the room.
Oh, I have...
In addition to your
pet,
you bring... A baby diapers. I think it's a good idea, but, you know, it's going to take up their whole trunk.
They
only last a week.
A week.
Maybe.
Maybe a week. Maybe a week.
Oh. But,
yes.
Yeah, the baby showers have changed. Because of all the things, the baby department has gotten so huge.
Unbelievable. When you walk down the aisle and see the baby things, and I'm looking, I'm going, oh, they got that for babies now?
Yes, and then not only all the regular stuff, but then the latest movie that's out, they have a whole aisle with stuff that's themed.
Yeah.
And you think, well, the baby has no clue, so by the time the baby figures out that was from a movie, they don't like it anymore anyway, and you're not going to change it.
Yeah. Why do they have to have all these lullabies for all these babies? I used to sing to my kids.
Yeah.
Even though I don't have a voice. And put them to sleep.
Yeah. Oh, and like Roland said, somehow or other they all end up growing up. And, you know, we think they're well adjusted.
Until they come home.
No, we think
until they move back home for the fifth time.
I had therapy the whole time.
Because I had too many mobiles on my ceiling. Oh,
well, nobody comes with a box.
Yeah,
that's right. They don't. No instruction manual.
Oh, no.
Well, I have an instruction manual for my grandsons when they were born. They, my daughter was in Minnesota, and she had to, kind of an emergency last minute, go to California. So I had to fly from Arizona to Minnesota to take care of my one-month-old twin grandsons, me who had housebroken kids. So I got this, I met her up there before she left, And I got this whole big long list of, okay, they need to be fed every 4 hours and they have to have this formula and you can't mix it in advance. It can only be there for 2 hours and then you gotta wash the bottles and they need to be sterilized and then they need to be changed. And every time you change them, you need to check for diaper rash and then you put this on them over here and put that on the front side and check the back side. And I didn't know babies. And I was staying with another of our sisters, and I walked in the door with these two little identical month-old babies. And she said, okay, James will be my baby. And I said, okay, I'll take Joseph. And we had to keep our babies separate for the whole week that we had them because we couldn't tell them apart. So we'd lay them down for their naps, and Janet would go, okay, my baby's facing this way. And I go, okay, I'll put Joseph over this way. So that I couldn't pick up her baby, and she couldn't pick up mine. And then I lost my baby one night. They had a little pack and play that the boys slept in, and Joseph woke up, and I knew it was him because his head was facing the way I put it. And so I picked him up, and he wouldn't quiet down, so I thought, well, I'll just take him to bed with me. Well, I was sleeping in a big queen-size bed in a pile mountain of blankets, and I made a little nest for him and put him in there, and he finally got quiet and went to sleep. And, you know, a few hours later, I hear this crying, and I woke up, and I'm looking around. I'm going, oh, my God, I know there's a baby in here somewhere. And I couldn't find them. But, you know, they're 3 years old now, and they're walking and talking, and they survived it all.
Ah, only here on Old Man Stories. Oh, yeah, but there are reasons and polls. And Angie, did they do something special for the Polish kids? You know, you're proposing, I think. Yeah, you know, I know they have Polish jokes. So I thought there was something funny. Well, Jeff, that's our story, isn't that a fun story?
Indeed, and really, having the breadth of experience from folks who have done this correctly, my hat's off to you. It is always a good thing, and we love having guests on this show, especially live ones. So thank you for sharing that with us. I guess my question to any one of them or all of them, if you could go back and tell yourselves before you had your first kid, this is the thing that will surprise you most about taking care of your kids, what would it be?
What was the question, the hardest part about taking care of your kids?
The most surprising part about taking care of your kids. Not the hardest, but the most surprising.
You know that they had brains. You know, you think you're just going to tell them to do something and they're going to do it, but they want to know why and they figure things out for themselves that work better than what you said. And then you have to go, fine, I should do it your way. Yeah, as they grow up, you have to adjust to what they're doing. They get a little older and they get a little wiser and they don't believe everything you tell them anymore. That was...
That's terrible, isn't it?
Yes, it's a lot of nerve. Especially when they end up being right.
I always said that the day that because of your mom that's why no longer works is the day that you've grown up and you're no longer a kid. That the day that you can say to your parents, or rather if your parents say because of your mom that's why and you can't accept that, that's when you've grown up.
Exactly. Okay, except then my kids were grown up at about age 5. Yeah.
All right, we have 2 minutes left in the show. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Any other comments? How about from an old man? Would you like to comment on it, Ron?
No, I understand that.
Rod just said he's going to stay out of trouble. That's just an excuse, but Ron, we have one male here and two fellas that had to do a half hour worth of talking, and you just sort of cop out with 2 minutes. So we're having a cool time here in Apache Junction.
Well, that is about all the time that we have for our show. So thank you for joining us. We've nursed this one to the end, and we hope that you'll join us again for more Old Men Stories next week. Thank you for coming.
Newborns are things to be valued and watched over. When we bring them home, where do we put them? Do we decorate with learning or love in mind? How old do they need to be before they get their ovum? What's your nursery rhyme in reason? Jeff Young.
Roland Willits.
Old Man Stories.
You've been listening to Old Men Stories on WQ4D Radio, the Inspiring Friends Network. The story for the day may end here, but the adventure continues. Join us next time for another round of stories around the virtual campfire. Roland and Jeff want to hear what stories you have to share, too. Join the circle over at www.oldmenstories.org or send Roland and Jeff an email at oldmenstories@wq4d.net. That's oldmenstories@wq4d.net. And remember that you are already a master storyteller in your own right. We want to hear your story.